Sally's in all her glory on this week's show. We talk about one of her favorite image editing programs in our summer software showcase series. All that and more coming up next on the Wells Tech Podcast.
This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. My name is Martin Spriggs, and you're listening to episode 245 for Wednesday, July 18th, 2012. Joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I can't complain. We're doing our recording on a Friday today, so that's a little unusual. I don't know that we've done too many Friday shows, even though this is for next week, but you're going to be a little tied up next week, aren't you?
I get the podcast out of the way early. Turns out it's Friday the 13th today, Martin. Are you superstitious?
I am not.
Nope, me neither. Should be a good day.
Friday the 13th or not, we're going to do the show, and it's going to be a great show because we're going to be talking about one of your very favoritest products.
Yep, I'm smiling a big monkey grin over here on this side of the microphone. We're talking about PicMonkey today in our summer software showcase. Yep. And PicMonkey is a Web 2.0 tool. It's all about the web with the PicMonkey tool set. You do all your image editing online. Upload your favorite images, make whatever tweaks to them you want, and download them to use in other places. And I think it's a perfect choice for a ministry setting. Number one, the price tag is zero, so can't go wrong there. You're not losing anything money wise to make use of the PicMonkey site. And most of the time, ministry image editing demands aren't that intensive, and PicMonkey can certainly do some lightweight lifting as well as kind of medium weight lifting on whatever image editing needs you may have.
Now, PicMonkey's got a little history, although it has not been around a long time. It's a replacement for another tool that you dearly loved, starting with the same three letters at least, PicNIC. That was something that we had highly recommended to all webmasters out there who needed to do a little image editing, and Google gobbled that up and incorporated it into their Google Photos or Google Plus experience. But PicMonkey has nicely taken its place and provides a lot of that same functionality and at the same price tag.
Same functionality and a wonderful user experience to boot. Mm-hmm. So it's very intuitive and fun to make use of the tools on the PicMonkey site. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you go there, you kind of have a choice between editing photos and creating collages. They're two different branches of the site, and both are very easy to use and fun to make use of.
Good. So where do we start with our review here of PicMonkey?
Well, we probably should talk a little bit about the photo editing functionality. Okay. And kind of the interface. The first thing you are prompted to do is upload a photo because you can't edit until you have a photo to make use of for editing. So when you click on edit a photo on the site, you grab a photo from your local computer, and then you're brought into that PicMonkey editor environment. If you want to get back to the home page, there's an X in the upper corner. It'll take you back to the home page where you can go into other options. But once you're in the editor environment, everything's controlled by a left menu in the PicMonkey site. And there's a bunch of different things. You can do basic edits, effects, touch-ups, text, overlays, frames, and textures by using that left navigation. And then under each of those, there's multiple options you can make use of. Now, I did mention the price tag is free. You'll see on the site that some of the options have a little crown emblem on them. And that means in the future, PicMonkey's going to charge for some of the options on the site.
Just like PicNIC kind of did, right?
Exactly. PicNIC was about $25 a year. I'm guessing PicMonkey will be priced similarly when they roll that out. Right now, they want everybody to just use it, enjoy it, and get really hooked on it. So you'll want to buy it when the time comes. And they call that the royal treatment. But as of now, summer 2012, everything on the site is free.
So what can't you do in PicMonkey that maybe you could do in a desktop-based tool like GIMP or Photoshop Elements or Photoshop, something like that? Do you see any negatives to doing it this way?
You're probably asking the wrong girl, because I'm not a Photoshop girl. I get all my image needs from this kind of tool, but I can tell you that it doesn't have the layers that are really popular in the Photoshop type software. And you maybe know more about that than I do, Martin.
Yeah, so that and not everybody needs layers, of course. And there are some kinds of layer functionality. You know, when you put down text, that is in essence, it's on its own layer.
And
so you can edit text. And overlays, right, those kinds of things you can do. So that would be maybe one of the differentiators between PicMonkey, which is, you know, they try to be very simple, user-friendly, and maybe kind of a middle-of-the-road Web 2.0 tool that we've talked about in the past called Aviary. Aviary does have layers and kind of mimics that Photoshop Elements, GIMP functionality with the layers. But I think there's a trade-off, and most people are really just using this to probably edit photo gallery images, resize them, brighten them up a little bit, get rid of red eye, that kind of stuff. Or preparing images for the web, which is very straightforward. You're just doing some cropping, some resizing, some enhancing, those kinds of things.
So Picnic is just the tool for those simple edits. A lot of people, like you said, just need to crop something to fit well on their web page. Mm-hmm. And Picnic can handle that. Put some text overlay, maybe a Bible verse or something, and you're all set. You click the Save button. Picnic only has the option of saving in JPEG or PNG format. So, and then it kind of simplifies the compression. They just kind of give you three different levels of compression. And tell you what file size it'll be as you download it and things like that. So just a wonderful interface. And I think if you dig into some of the effects and different textures and things you can apply, you could spend a lot of time doing some really fun photo edits. I've actually been teaching a class this summer for MLC on image editing, and I just had the students experiment with all the different possibilities on the site. And it's really impressive when you start doing that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. So maybe, actually, maybe before we jump into ministry uses, I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about one of your favorite features. And that's collages, right?
Right. This is kind of the other side of the Picnic site. So if you exit out of the editor, then you can open up the collage maker. And the collage maker is just what you would expect. It has layouts with multiple image spots in them. And they even give you some sample images to drag and drop into the spots to play with it. So it's really fun to experiment in that way. They have a multitude of layouts, you know, even sized to go at the top of your Facebook page or, you know, like a puzzle or with a tile border or whatever your fancy is for the different layouts. And you can do things under the last option, the background option, like change the background color, round the corners of the images that are part of your collage, that kind of thing. So really flexible in that regard. But what's amazing is the PicMonkey folks have improved upon collages in a way that I couldn't even dream of before. And that is they've made collages completely flexible by dragging the borders, internal and external borders. You can change the dimensions of the images that are part of your collage. And by dragging images to the borders, you can drag and drop images to expand your collage in any way that you want. So you have total flexibility on the image placement, the number of images, what sizes they are, and that kind of thing. So it makes the collage tool ultra fun. I'm really excited about it.
Cool. Yeah, I was playing with it a little bit, and yeah, a lot more flexibility, and you can kind of tweak it just to exactly the way you want it. And there's a lot of ministry uses for that too. So maybe that's a nice segue into our ministry uses section. So if somebody's grabbing Picnic, they obviously want to do something with it. In a ministry context, what are those somethings? We've got five things that I think we came up with here.
That's right. And right off the top, I would say it would be creating images for your website. it's important that you have the properly sized images. And like I said, maybe with some text overlay to use maybe in a banner area or whatever. Picnic can do all of that kind of functionality for you without any problems. Mm-hmm. So webmasters, take note and make use of the Picnic tool for sure.
Yeah, I taught a final web class last week, or this week. By the time everybody hears this, it'll be last week. But that was a big part of our discussion with those webmasters is make sure you got the image to the exact size you want it to appear on the web. Don't up-res or down-res it. Make sure that it's exactly the way you want it, cropped the way you want, and that's going to give the most optimized experience. And PicMonkey does that real easily.
Absolutely. So number two on our list of ministry uses is to edit images for inclusion in your newsletter. And I know all the church secretaries out there are probably always looking for the proper images for their newsletter. And like I said, adding text to images can really be powerful in those settings as well. So PicMonkey can do that work for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Number three is something that I've been dealing with over the last week or so. I'm teaching a class online for MLC on presentations, and presentations are a great place to put images in. So when you do presentations, whether that be in the classroom or for a sermon or Bible class, you want that image just the way you want it too. So maybe it's just a portion of the image. Maybe you need to scale it a little bit, tweak it a little bit, enhance it a little bit. So it's a great tool to put in your presentation creation workflow. So it's real easy to do. Upload, download, and throw it in there, and you're done.
Yeah, that's great. Great option. You can also make use of a tool like this for creating pictorial directories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these day and age, you don't have to go with a company to necessarily do
right.
a church pictorial directory. You could create it by doing image editing and laying it out in your own photo book, for instance. Mm-hmm. So, or if you wanted to do an online pictorial directory on it could crop and make use of the tools on PicMonkey. I think one of the important things to add to professionalism is to size things all the same and, you know, crop them similarly and that kind of thing. And so making use of PicMonkey would be a great way to do that.
Yeah, maybe you want to keep a consistent border around them. There's lots of ways that you can make those consistent and make it look nice, a nice mm-hmm. presentation. And then the last one's pretty obvious. Yeah, when you're creating promotion materials, whether they be brochures or flyers or posters or whatever, and you want to use images, PicMonkey is a good way to get those to the right size and enhance those as necessary.
So yeah, can't say anything bad about the PicMonkey website. It's got lots of tools for you to use, and certainly the price is right to support our ministry efforts. So mm-hmm. give it a try.
And that's PicMonkey.com, and that's PicMonkey.com. Mm-hmm. Sally, we should probably move on to our picks of the week.
And mine is also image related. It's an iPad app called Avid Studio. And I stumbled upon this just recently and had to put down my $4.99 to purchase this.
$4.99.
Yeah, right. I'm not that rich to spend $400 on it. No. But it is a drag and drop kind of movie maker for the iPad, very similar to the iMovie experience. And I've been using iMovie for over a year now. And I'm really happy with the effects that iMovie does. But I've done a lot of iMovies, and now I was looking for something a little bit different. So this will kind of open up what I can do with the iPad in terms of movie creation. Any of the images and video that you have on your iPad, you can easily drag and drop into the tool and make a montage kind of video in the process. And they have more transitions and things that you can implement. They also have kind of a picture-in-picture, they call it the montage, where you can maybe lay down a background image and put some video on top of it, or vice versa. So a little more functionality than iMovie offered me. You can easily save the movie that you create to your iPad, or you can, with one click, upload it to Facebook or YouTube as well. And the Avid folks have created a whole series of video tutorials. In particular, you might want to watch the video overview if it's something you would be considering. They give you a good demo of all the functionality that's a part of the tool. And so far, so good for me. I'm really pleased with the purchase.
Cool. Avid is a big name in the video editing space. They have a very high-end product that movie makers use. And looks like they've kind of now gone to the small screen, and looks like they put some quality into that. So pretty good price for that, for what you get for that.
Mm-hmm. And I should probably mention, if you do have the desktop Avid software, you can export from your iPad to the desktop software and continue your editing.
So, Sally, my pick of the week is very timely, because I've just spent a ton of time using the tool and came away very impressed in general. And that's a Google product. We've talked about it in the past, Google Hangouts. Google Hangouts are their video conferencing solution. And it's basically an area where a group of people can get together with microphones and webcams and talk to each other and see each other and share stuff. And we used it for our final web training, which was kind of a new experience. We decided to do this rather than bring everybody into the Senate office here or to go over to New Ulm and spend time with you. We said, well, let's try and do this online. And there were a number of ways we could have done this, but we chose a free product from Google, which is fairly new technology. But we felt, I think, at least I felt confident enough to give it a shot, and worked out well. I got dumped out a couple times, but it's real easy to reengage. And we had 10 people in there at a time, and I could see all of them, and they could see me. You can share your screen, you can do chats, you can watch YouTube videos together. There's all kinds of apps that you can share, including Google Docs, of course, so you can share a Google Doc, and everybody can look at it at the same time. You can do mind maps, you can do diagramming, all those kinds of things, and they're constantly adding more stuff to it. And it's if you have a Google account, it's real easy to get into. And we found it to be a great tool. I mean, there's a couple things that I'd like to see improved with it. One is I'd like to take the video screen full screen so that you can get a little bit closer look. So if you're doing screen casting or screen demoing, can be a little bit small depending on the resolution of your monitor. So that would be one improvement. But other than that, it was real easy, and we found our way through kind of how to get, you know, the attention of folks if they have a question or whatever. And the audio was clean, the video was clean, and that's saying something to get 10 people together and not have issues with that. You get the normal background chatter that you sometimes get that can, you know, if somebody's got an open mic or whatever, but it's easy to mute. And you have full control over the experience. So I guess there are a number of ministry uses here, the same use cases that you have maybe for Skype, but it's a lot easier to get more people on than you can with Skype. Skype, you need a premium account to get more than two people on and do screen sharing. This is right out of the box. It works, and I'm pretty impressed. So that was why it is my pick of the week.
Excellent. I appreciate you paving the way with your class, because next week I'll be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very good that it worked out so well for you.
I'm happy.
All right.
And I think hopefully they got their money's worth. At least the technology didn't stand in the way of them learning. So
yeah, and you know, the fact is that a lot of the people that were in your class can't come to Milwaukee or New Ulm because they're spread across the country. And so being able to do online learning like this is a big benefit.
Yeah, we had somebody from California. We had somebody from Arizona, Minnesota, a bunch of folks from Minnesota and Michigan, very few from Wisconsin, actually. So
that's awesome.
Let's move on to our community feedback, Sally.
You bet. We have quite a bit to share this week. It's been a happening place in the Wells Tech community, starting with an excellent email we received from Maren McPeak, who's recommending the Faith Life Bible, a new release from the Logos company, basically a scaled-down version of Logos. So I was kind of surprised to hear about this. I didn't realize they were developing this. You can get it for your mobile device, and they include at least one Bible for free. I think she made note of it. But the NIV 2011 is only $15 to purchase, and they have others as well. If you're maybe wanting to take your Bible study up a notch and get a Logos-like environment, the Faith Life Bible may be something you want to check out.
Interesting. Yeah. I have not had a chance to look at that yet. I'm looking forward to doing that.
Okay. We had a tweet from Gail Potratz who pointed us to Amplifier. And I don't know if you've seen this, Martin. I've actually seen it when it was a Kickstarter project. A couple of guys designed a little snap-on plastic thing. It kind of looks like the lid off of a drink cup from a fast food restaurant, but it snaps on the edge of your iPad and fits in behind where the speaker is in the upper corner of your iPad so that you can amplify the speaker sound. And Gail was making a note that it might be good for a small group work if you had maybe one or just a few iPads in a classroom setting and you wanted to watch or listen to something on the iPad with a small group. I definitely make you use of the same technology when I put my hand behind the speaker to bring the sound around to the front of the iPad so we can hear it better.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're going to be charging $25 for these amplifiers, and I bet they sell a lot of them. I think it's a needed product.
I bet it cost them about $1
to make this plastic drink lid.
If you look at it, it looks really goofy. I'm sure it works, and I'm sure it works well, because like you say, I've done that same thing. You cup the hand to get that sound forward or in my direction. And really, it's just like a pie-shaped little clip-on thing that I'm sure is made of some kind of durable plastic and all kinds of colors. So if you want red or white or black or green or blue, that's there for you. So interesting. So is this iPad 2 and 3?
I'm not really sure that they specify it.
Because
is
the thickness,
speaker somewhere else on?
I think it's the same on 2 and 3.
Yeah,
I was thinking more of the thickness, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the 2 and 3 are thinner than the 1, so.
Okay,
interesting.
Yeah. Let us know if you get one, Gail. We'll be anxious to hear your review.
Mm-hmm.
So, also over on Twitter, there was some chit-chat about a new hashtag to be used and promoted among Wells teachers. They're going to use Wells Ed to kind of group together any conversations among Wells teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Wells Tech hashtag that we use for our podcast listeners. And now if you want to send something out specific to teachers, you can use Wells Ed.
Or Wellsed. For short.
Wellsed.
Your tweet has been wellsed.
Excellent. All right. And this actually came out of a lot of tweets around the Google Education Summit that was happening this week at Wisconsin Lutheran College last week when you listened to this.
Right.
Anyway.
This time shifting thing, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not real great at it. Anyway, over at Wisconsin Lutheran College, they have been busy with lots of learning around all the things you can do with Google products. The Google Education Summit presented everyone in attendance with a Chromebook, and they spent the week using all kinds of Google apps and tweeting about it extensively. And it was a lot of fun to follow the conversation through Twitter. Really appreciate the tool and those kind of settings. And there's just a couple of links that I thought worth sharing with our listeners. An example of a collaborative PDF, I'm sorry, not PDF, presentation document. Mm-hmm. They work together to do a presentation, Milwaukee A to Z. So each person in the workshop took a letter of the alphabet and created a page in this presentation. And it came together really well, kind of a look at summer and different things you were doing this summer and that kind of thing. So pretty cool to see that kind of collaboration going with such a large group.
Yep. B is for Brewers. Yes. You can tell this was that. WLC.
Milwaukee. True to Milwaukee.
Let's see if P is for Packer. Let me scroll through here. No, P is for Pool. Very unimaginative. Okay.
All right. Next up, I wanted to make mention of an article they tweeted from Lifehacker, the best Google features you're probably not using. And I had to browse this article, and I did find that there's a new way to automatically upload your images from your mobile device right to your Google account in Google Plus. So mm-hmm. Just an online backup, making use of your Google Drive space. So there's probably more on that list that I'm not making use of yet. So check out the list in the Lifehacker article.
Cool.
Another link I thought worthy of sharing with the crowd was something that Peter Isle shared. Now, Martin, you know Peter as the Chromebook teacher. He is in where? Oshkosh?
Oshkosh, yep. I think it's Grayson Oshkosh, I want to say. Yeah, and I sat in on a day worth of his classroom work, and I was interested in what he was doing with Chromebooks.
Yep, and he was actually one of the presenters at the Google Education Summit. And one thing he shared were a couple of documents, basically justification and implementation documents from his campus. So looking at the pros and cons of going with Chromebooks, and then also the implementation plan and how they were planning to use them in the classroom setting. Mm-hmm. And I think these would be just worthy reading for anyone that was considering it, just to see the thought process that they went through there at his school. Cool. So thanks for sharing those.
The three one-to-one computing choices right now are the iPad, which is probably the most expensive solution. A lot of schools are considering netbooks, which I think is probably diminishing now with the advent of the iPad. And then the last one, which is really the focus of this summit, and the one that I would probably lean toward the most, is the Chromebook approach. So if you're considering, if you're kind of in that spot and kind of thinking, well, my computer lab isn't as useful as it used to be, I need to get computers into the classroom and in front of the kids on their desks, then this would be a great read.
Absolutely. Just two more links from the summit that I wanted to share in our show notes today. And one is a collaborative document where they took notes on all the major speakers at the summit. So if you want to just read through notes on the speeches and things that were given there, then that's certainly worth taking a look at. And then finally, Rachel Pearson, one of our listeners, I believe she teaches at Trinity in Waukesha, is attending the summit, and she put together a Twitter list. Okay, so moving on from the Google Education Summit, then we had one DIGO link, Martin, that I thought you might want to share with us. 14 smart tips for using iPads in class.
Yes, this was, let me pull this up again. I was too busy reading those Google Docs from the Education Summit. This is from a blog called Mindshift, and they have some pretty good articles, especially about learning and 14 smart tips for using iPads in class. Ties in nicely with what I was saying about, you know, the decisions that one-to-one computing initiatives need to consider. And just some common sense kinds of things, talking about iTunes policies, and do you need, what kind of case do you need around this iPad, because they could get banged up, and how do you manage them, and do you need to purchase an Apple TV so you can do AirPlay onto the main screen, et cetera, et cetera. So just a nice little article that's worth a quick read. So.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Sure.
Lastly, we had some discussion over on the Wells Tech Listserv, our email group, and it was started by Gail Protratz out at Emmanuel in New London. And Gail asked the question, can anyone recommend a cloud printer that has worked well? Looking for the best printer for a classroom using Chromebooks. So Gail mm-hmm. must be getting some Chromebooks this
She is doing
year.
That this summer. I just talked mm-hmm. to her the other day. She's excited about that.
So. Awesome. couple of responses. Troy Schultz wrote to say that he would go with HP printers all the way in, and he shared a link to their ePrint area of their website. So basically, we're talking about wireless-capable printers, and Troy gave us a great link to follow. We also heard from Chris Fisher at Divine Savior Academy, and he said that they use specifically the HP LaserJet Pro P1102W printers, and they work very well, and since they're laser and use toner, they're pretty cost effective. He has two mobile network labs, and each cart has one of these printers. So great feedback, as always, from the Wells Tech listserv.
Yep. Okay, that's going to do it for our community feedback. Next week, we're going to continue our summer software showcase with a tool that we talked about long ago, and it's got a very specific purpose, but I think some ministry application, and that's something that works with Google Maps called Batch Geo. So if you're interested in mapping technologies and how that might apply to ministry, next week is your show when we talk about Batch Geo. Sally, I hope you're having a great class this week. Let's close the show with the music of Michael Schrader. One of my favorite songs from him called John 3:16. Thanks everybody for joining us. Hope you're having a great summer, and tune in next week.
But in your words you gave